It is Friday, October 26, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, a person is detained in connection with explosive devices mailed to prominent Democrats.
This is political terrorism. This is what it looks like. You target leaders, you target significant individuals, you target officials or former officials from the government.
Bomb scares inject fear into the U.S. midterm political campaigns, and country music singer Dolly Parton is releasing a new film on Netflix. It's all ahead. Federal authorities have detained a person in connection with a series of 12 mail suspicious packages. A Justice Department spokeswoman said authorities are planning to announce more information at a news conference later Friday, but he's been named as 56-year-old Cesar Sayoc of Florida. The U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation said Friday an 11th suspicious package addressed to Democratic Senator Cory Booker was found. The FBI said the package, which was intercepted in Florida, was similar to the crude pipe bombs that were addressed in recent days to former President Barack Obama, other high-profile Democrats, and critics of U.S. President Donald Trump. On Friday, Trump at the White House praised the work of authorities to detain the suspect.
I am pleased to inform you that law enforcement has apprehended the suspect and taken him into custody. It's an incredible job by law enforcement. We've carried out a far-reaching federal, state, and local investigation to find the person or persons responsible for these events. These terrorizing acts are despicable and have no place in our country. No place. I've instructed authorities to spare no resource or expense in finding those responsible and bringing them to swift and certain justice. And we will prosecute them, him, her, whoever it may be, to the fullest extent of the law. We must never allow political violence to take root in America. Cannot let it happen. And I'm committed to doing everything in my power as president to stop it. And to stop it now. Stop it now. I have just concluded a briefing with the Department of Justice following the apprehension of the suspect. I want to applaud the FBI, Secret Service, the Department of Justice, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, the NYPD, and all law enforcement throughout the entire country, incredible partners. These people have worked so hard, and to have done it so quickly, it's looking like it's a needle in a haystack. How do you do this so quickly? They've done an incredible, incredible job, and I want to congratulate them.
CNN and other media outlets reported a 12 suspicious package targeting former National Intelligence Director James Clapper also was found Friday. John Miller is the New York Police Department's Commissioner of Intel and Counterterrorism. He told the news media about the 12th package.
This area was secured while emergency service and the NYPD bomb squad responded. The package was isolated in the post office. The bomb squad was able to use their equipment to conduct an X-ray. Inside, they saw what appears to be a pipe bomb consistent with other devices we've seen this week, contained in a package consistent with the packaging we've seen this week. It was addressed to an individual at a location in Manhattan. The bomb squad was able to safely remove that package with the device intact into the total containment vessel and transport that under highway escort to the NYPD range at Rodman's Neck, where it'll be placed in a secure storage area for the FBI, who will then transport it along with the other suspected devices we've seen this week to the FBI's lab in Quantico.
Karen Greenberg is director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law in New York City. I asked her earlier today about the variety of people in this that were targeted.
You know, it's not, doesn't seem like a variety of people, although it is a variety of different positions that they hold, whether it's politician or former politician. But basically, they are critics of the president, President Trump. So even though they may come from different avenues, different parties, different professional responsibilities, they do share that one characteristic. And they've been outspoken and vocal critics of Trump and the administration.
There are so many, though, up and down the East Coast, as well as one to Congresswoman Maxine Waters in California. So there's kind of a variety of a geographic area as well.
Yeah. Geographic areas being, as far as we can tell, the coast, but definitely New York and then, you know, going down the coast in the east. So it's not, it is a geographical area. If you really wanted to expand this into the argument, it's the geographical area that's considered, you know, the home of liberal democracy in some ways, the elite East Coast that is often referred to in political rhetoric these days. So who knows? It also may just be convenience of the person or persons who's behind it. But it is concerning.
None of these bombs so far exploded. Does this indicate that, you know, an amateur did this?
Not necessarily. There's a number of possibilities. First, to your point, it is very difficult to build a viable bomb. And we've seen that time and time again in a number of attempted terrorist attacks. It is a complicated and often fails. But there are many who think that there is another story here, possible story, and that is that they were intended to scare, but not necessarily intended to go off. And it could be that some of them were viable and some of them weren't viable. And this is the kind of thing we're going to have to wait for a report from law enforcement, who will be, this is one thing they will be able to figure out, whether or not these bombs were actually viable. And we just going to have to wait and see.
Well, meanwhile, I believe the FBI has said there could be additional bombs out there.
Of course. And they do need to say that. And they may know of specific leads, because it seems that they've been on top of many of all of these stories as they've evolved. Their net is wide. They know that they're looking, or think that they're looking, at critics of the Trump administration, outspoken critics. But of course they have to anticipate more. And as we've seen, each day there are a couple more reported. So absolutely they want to be proactive. They want to take the preventive stance, as they have taken against terrorism for nearly two decades now. This is their means. And of course they want to anticipate any other kind of bombs. And my guess is that they will be on high alert at least until the election, if not afterwards as well.
Two of these bombs were sent. One was sent to former CIA Director John Brennan, and another just today was sent to former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper. But they were sent to them at CNN, at CNN's New York Bureau. President Trump has been very highly critical of CNN's coverage of his administration.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, because, of course, Director Brennan, who is a fellow at the center that I run, the Center on National Security at Fordham, does not work at CNN. He is affiliated these days with MSNBC, and so with NBC. And so that is sort of unusual that they would have it to CNN. Also, the letter that was sent to CNN misspelled his name. So you never know exactly what the individual or individuals who are mounting these bombs and sending them out, who they are. But these kinds of clues are very important to law enforcement. And, you know, the misspellings, trying to figure out where things came from. But, yeah, yes, it's because of CNN more than it's because, I think, of those individuals. And, look, all of these news stations are going to be on high alert. That's what happens when you attack the media as an enemy of the people.
Perhaps you don't want to talk about this, but has Fordham had to increase its security because Mr. Brennan is there, at least, I would think, some of the time?
We're being careful, you know, attentive, alert, as I think a lot of other places are that many of these individuals are associated with one way or another. You know, I think there's heightened vigilance, but I think that that's going to be true all around. And I think the burden on law enforcement is to try to follow this trail of, if it is in fact more and more critics of the Trump administration, who they might be and how that might play out. And so I would say the net is very wide in terms of what they're looking at.
Can you recall a similar operation or something like this in American history recently?
Well, they're the anthrax attacks from the period after 9/11, in which it was very hard to know where the anthrax letters that were being sent to news stations and to individuals were coming from. And it took quite a while for them to get to the bottom of it. So, yes, that's one. I mean, a number of people have pointed to the Unabomber who was targeting individuals across the country and who eventually was found because of his own manifesto that he wrote, but he wasn't found for, I think, something like 17 years. So there's stories of shorter time and longer time, but look, this is political terrorism. This is what it looks like. You target leaders, you target significant individuals, you target officials or former officials from the government. That is one of the mainstream characteristics of terrorism as we understand it.
Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law in New York. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. A report says the son of slain Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi arrives in the United States. The opposition will participate in a contentious Democratic Republic of Congo election. Amnesty International accuses India of instilling fear in rights groups following raids in its offices, and U.S. stocks plunge, then recover some ground on Friday. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA. This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, we'll look at Dolly Parton's new film. Less than 2 weeks before U.S. midterm elections, a new element of fear and uncertainty has been injected into the campaign in the wake of suspected pipe bombs that were sent to several prominent Democrats. That, in turn, has sparked a renewed focus on the sharp political rhetoric that has long shaped the current divisive atmosphere, with calls from both parties to temper the partisanship. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more from Washington.
Donald J. Trump!
On the campaign trail in Wisconsin, President Donald Trump made an appeal for calm.
We want all sides to come together in peace and harmony. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. It'll happen.
But Trump blasted the news media in a tweet, even as he made a plea to moderate the heated political rhetoric on both sides.
Those engaged in the political arena must stop treating political opponents as being morally defective. Have to do that.
Democrats pounced on that, countering that Trump has been a key instigator of political tension with his partisan attacks. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
This is a very painful time in our nation. And it's a time when people are feeling a lot of hatred in the air. And incidents like this exacerbate that pain and exacerbate that fear.
Trump has aggressively gone after Democrats in the midterm campaign, including this recent rally in Montana.
The Democrat Party has become too extreme to be trusted with power. Their radical policies are a danger to your family and to your country.
Before the mail bombs targeting Democrats, Trump had focused on immigration concerns related to the caravan of Central American migrants moving through Mexico. Democrats are countering with a furious get-out-the-vote effort in the final days of the campaign, with help from former President Barack Obama.
The stakes are high. The consequences of anybody here not turning out and doing everything you can to get your friends, neighbors, family to turn out, the consequences of you staying home would be profoundly dangerous to this country, to our democracy.
Both parties are now focused on motivating their voters in the final days of the midterm campaign, says analyst David Barker.
What both sides need, though, is for their people to turn out on election day. And traditionally, that's more critical for Democrats because Republicans are just more inclined to do it no matter what.
Democrats remain confident of gains on November 6th, says Democratic strategist Jim Kessler.
There's a blue wave coming. The question is how big. I believe Democrats will take back the House. I don't think they will take back the Senate at this point.
It remains to be seen how the late focus on security and immigration will impact the final days of the campaign, a classic October surprise that might determine which party controls Congress for the next 2 years. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Washington State University-led study proposes that a single domestication event some 3,600 years ago in what is now Central America led to the production of chocolate that many of us enjoy today. After analyzing the genome of cacao trees, the researchers say they were able to determine when the trees were first domesticated by ancient Americans to produce superior cacao beans, which in turn provides the basis for making excellent chocolate. According to the study, some of the qualities that those domesticating the cacao trees focused on included flavor, resistance to disease, and that it produced a stimulant called theobromide. Researchers noted that developing and enhancing those qualities also resulted in lower crop yields. While they may have been domesticated in Central America, the scientists say the cacao trees originated near what is today's border of southern Colombia and northern Ecuador. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Ahead of Sunday's second-round presidential election in Brazil Sunday, Social Liberal Party lawmaker and former military officer Jair Bolsonaro maintains a strong lead in pre-election polls over the ruling leftist Workers' Party hopeful Fernando Haddad. Jailed former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, who remains popular, called on Democrats to put aside their differences and unite to defeat what he called a fascist adventure. Bolsonaro, who came out on top in the first round, is reportedly already shaping policies he will attempt to use to fight corruption, crime, and recession in Latin America's largest economy. He's already announced economist and investor Paulo Guedes as finance minister. Bolsonaro raised alarm last week when he said he wants to return Brazil to the way it was 40 or 50 years ago when there was a military dictatorship. International Edition's Victor Beatty asked Peter Hakim, President Emeritus and Senior Fellow at the Inter-American Dialogue, about that.
Yeah, I think what he means is he thinks that the country should be certainly a stronger sense of order, stronger discipline, wants a crackdown on crime, and what has become a security nightmare for many in Brazil. And 40, 50 years ago, at least for a short period of time, the military had the country growing pretty rapidly, and things seemed better ordered than they do today.
He's regarded, I think, fairly as a polarizing figure. He has made comments that some regard as racist, homophobic, and sexist. What makes him so popular, even among women?
From what I gather is that people see him as talking plainly in plain Portuguese, if you like. He communicates well. He says what he wants. People say we don't need these politicians who beat around the bush and are convoluted in what they say and don't really mean what they say. Bolsonaro, what they said about Trump is he says what's on his mind and he gets it out. He's not afraid to express himself, and he talks like one of us, and that reassures us.
Do the Brazilian voters overlook the remarks and focus on what they hope he'll do, and that is control crime, corruption, and improve the economy?
I think a lot of voters overlooked it. Others saw him promoting an agenda they wanted to see more of, and so they overlooked his uncivil comments, his racist comments. And others sort of said, hey, you know, he exaggerates. He really doesn't mean that. He's just a plain talker like all of us in conversation, and that's not what's important. What's important is we need change in Brazil. We need more discipline. We need order. We need economic growth. And the traditional parties don't have a clue of how to give it to us.
Peter Hakim of the Inter-American Dialogue. Bolsonaro is widely seen as an advocate of free market principles and appears to have wide support among both rich and poor Brazilians. This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. That's Press Conference USA, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on The Voice of America.
If you're a fan of country music legend Dolly Parton, you'll be happy to know she has a new movie coming out on Netflix called Dumplin', complete with a soundtrack filled with new music. Nikki Strong of VOA1 is here with the details. So what's Dumplin' about?
Dumplin' is based on a New York Times bestselling book by the same name, by the author Julie Murphy. It tells a story of Willow Dean. Willow Dean is a plus-size teenager whose mother, played by Jennifer Aniston, is a former beauty pageant queen. And Willow Dean, as a form of protest, decides to enter the beauty pageant that her mother is running. And in the process, she shakes things up in her small town.
Well, there's an interesting backstory as to how Dolly became a part of this movie. Tell us about it.
This is very interesting. In the book, Willow Dean's late Aunt Lucy is a big fan of Dolly Parton. So much so that she would often quote song lyrics and, you know, her life philosophy. So the lead character, Willow Dean, turns to Dolly's music for inspiration. Now, Dolly Parton remembers when this book was released in 2015 because she kept hearing that she was all in this book. So she got her hands on it. She read it. She loved it. She was really touched by it. A few years later, Jennifer Aniston and her production company Echo Films contacted Dolly to see if she would license some of the music for the movie. So Dolly, of course, was like, absolutely. Then they asked her, would she write a theme song with Linda Perry? Linda Perry, by the way, did the song Beautiful that Christina Aguilera sings. So she didn't know Linda Perry personally at the time, but was like, sure. And they wound up working so well together. They not only did the theme song, which is called Girl in the Movies, they came up with 6 new songs altogether. And Dolly said every one is based on an emotion she felt while she was watching the movie. Aww. And she is also politicking for the theme song Girl in the Movies to get nominated for an Oscar. Wow. And hopefully win. I'm like, go, Dolly, go.
When will the soundtrack and movie be released?
So the soundtrack comes out November 30th, which, by the way, also features guest appearances by Sia and Alison Krauss and Mavis Staples and Miranda Lambert. And the movie itself, Dumplin', will debut on Netflix and select theaters a week after on December the 7th.
Almost, yeah, in time for the holiday for Christmas
yes,
season.
Yes, basically.
You can hear Dolly Parton's music on Country Hits USA with Nikki Strong every Friday on VOA 1 The Hits. You can also reach Nikki on Facebook and Twitter at VOA 1 The Hits. Thanks, Nikki.
You're welcome.
'Cause I want to be the girl in the movies, the one with the stars in her eyes. She gets the role she chooses. She can laugh or she can cry, acting out her story, standing in her glory. Always happy endings. I wanna be the girl in the movie.
Dolly Parton, and that is our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.